Chapter 303, Prohibition of Consultation with Soothsayers, 1668. Aisha Raziullah Anha said, Some people asked the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, about soothsayers. He, peace be upon him, said, They are of no account. Upon this they said to him, O Messenger of Allah, but they sometimes make true predictions. Thereupon the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, That is a word pertaining to truth, which a jinn snatches from the angels and whispers into the ears of his friend, the soothsayers, who will then mix more than 100 lies with it. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The narration in Al-Bukhari is, The angels descend in the clouds and mention matters which has been decreed in heaven. Satan steals a hearing, listens to it stealthily, and communicates it to the soothsayers, who tell along with it 100 lies. Commentary. Kahin, soothsayer, Munajjim, astrologer, and Araf, foreteller, have similar characteristics, but with a slight difference. All of them make predictions about the future. Kahin would overhear some jinn and disclose the secret to people, which would sometimes prove true, because the jinn's source of information was Satan, who sometimes stole away some information from the angels. But after the annunciation of the Prophet, peace be upon him, it was made possible for jinns and Satans to overhear anything in the skies. Moreover, Kahin and others of his ilk would make predictions on the basis of certain signs and circumstantial evidence, which could go wrong or right. This is so even to this day. Astrological prediction is also a form of foretelling, but this is often wrong. Al-Irafa, or what is known to be as divination, is also an indication of some future occurrence on the basis of certain causes and events. All the three occult arts supplement each other and also take the help of similar other things. In other words, these are all different forms of soothsaying. Geomancy also tries to tell about the invisible future. At-Tarq is the art of taking omen by striking birds with gravel on their wings or by throwing barley, etc. before them. In the latter formula, if a bird flies towards the right side, it would be a good omen, and if it goes towards the left, it will be a bad one. All such things are unlawful and have been strictly forbidden by Islam. If anything predicted by these means comes by chance true, it does not furnish any justification for their validity. 1669. Narrated Safiya, daughter of Abu Ubaid, on the authority of some of the wives of the Prophet, peace be upon him, who said, He who goes to one who claims to tell about matters of the unseen and believes in him, his salat, prayers, will not be accepted for 40 days. Muslim. Commentary. We learn from this hadith that visiting soothsayers and astrologers for the purpose of knowing from them what lies hidden in future is such a great offense that he who does it loses all merits of his 40 days salat. Some people try to detect the culprits involved in a theft case through the so-called fortune tellers or seek their advice in matters relating to business, marriage, etc. All such things are unlawful because Allah alone knows the invisible world. 1670. Qabisa bin al-Mukharrik radiyallahu anhu said, I heard the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, saying, The practice of iyafa, the interpretation of omens from the flight of birds, the practice of divination by drawing lines on the ground and taking evil omens, are all practices of al-jibt, the idol, the diviner or sorcerer, Abu Daud. Commentary. Iyafa is an occult practice in which the practitioner rapidly draws lines on the soft ground in the presence of his client in such a manner that the lines cannot be counted, then he effaces the lines in pairs. If at the end of the exercise two lines are left on the ground, it is taken as a good omen. If it is a single line, it is a bad omen. Some people have also described certain other forms of this occult formula. In any case, it was one of the formulas practiced by the soothsayers of the period of ignorance. This practice, like others of this kind, was prohibited, and Muslims were made to understand that such things could neither benefit nor harm anyone, and were mere tricks and frauds, and any reliance on them was absolute superstition and heresy. How sad it is that a large number of Muslims of the present age have faith in such occult practices and believe in superstitions. May Allah grant us guidance and save us from such evils. Al-Jibt covers a wide meaning. It means anything worshipped other than the true God, Allah, i.e. all false deities, be they an idol, Satan, graves, stars, angels, saints, Jesus, the Son of Mary, etc. 1671. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, He who acquires a branch of the knowledge of astrology learns a branch of magic, of which he acquires more as long as he continues to do so." Abu Dawud. Commentary. In this hadith, astrology has been regarded a part of magic. In Islam, the learning of magic has been held equivalent to infidelity. Thus, it is evident that in Islam, astrology and soothsaying are highly dangerous, and learning them is a great sin. Astrology here stands for that pseudoscience on the basis of which future events are predicted with reference to the movements of stars. There is another science called astronomy, by means of which timings of sunrise and sunset are calculated. This branch of science, however, is a genuine science because it is based on experiment and observation. 1672. Muawiyah bin al-Hakam radiallahu anhu reported, "I said, O Messenger of Allah, I have recently emerged from ignorance, and Allah has favored me with Islam. There are still some men among us who visit the soothsayers to consult them on matters relating to the future. He, peace be upon him, replied, Do not visit them. I said, There are some men who are guided by omens. He replied, These are the ideas which come up in their minds, but you should not be influenced by them. i.e. these things should not prevent them from pursuing their works. I said, There are some men who practice divination by drawing lines on the ground. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, replied, There was a prophet who drew lines. The line which agrees with the line drawn by that prophet would be correct." Muslim. Commentary. 1. This hadith has already appeared earlier, hadith number 701. These are the ideas which come up in their minds means that sometimes something appears and one's mind at once takes it as a bad omen. This is something instinctive and natural, and one is not accountable for it. But if one acts in accordance with that omen, then what he does is wrong and is therefore forbidden. For this reason, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, i.e. these things should not prevent them from pursuing their works. 2. The drawing of a line mentioned in this hadith is different from the drawing of lines in Iyafa mentioned earlier. Moreover, that was an act of a prophet which was done by him in the light of Wahi sent to him by Allah, and therefore was certainly correct. But now, nobody possesses that knowledge and cannot therefore be adopted. The statement of the Prophet, peace be upon him, that the line which agrees with the line drawn by that prophet would be correct, was by way of elucidation. It does not mean that that act can also be done by anyone today. For how can it be done without knowing its principles? How did that Prophet of Allah draw that line? What were its principles? Since that knowledge has passed away with that Prophet, it is now no longer valid, nor would it be fruitful. Who was the Prophet? Who did it? Some people say it was Prophet Daniel, peace be upon him, while others think it was Prophet Idris, peace be upon him. Allah alone knows the truth. 1673. Abu Masud al-Badri radiallahu anhu said, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, prohibited the price of a dog, the earning of a prostitute, and the money given to a soothsayer." Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. 1. Prohibition of the price of a dog signifies that the sale and purchase of dogs is forbidden. This is a general order which applies to dog of every kind, whether it is for hunting or protection of farms, which is permissible, or is a tamed one. The reason being that a dog is an absolutely unclean animal, no matter what breed it is. Some ulama are of the opinion that the sale and purchase of such dogs, which one intends to keep for lawful needs, such as hunting and protecting farms, is permissible. So far as reasoning is concerned, the views of the majority of ulama are quite strong because we find absolute prohibition of dogs in this hadith. The earning of a vile woman has been called dower in the hadith because of its evident form. Otherwise, it is unlawful and nobody accepts its justification. Similar is the case of soothsayers, astrologers, fortune tellers, and all those who fool people by telling them about future and thus swindle money from them. Their income is also unlawful. 2. It is also unlawful to make any payment to such swindlers, because when it is not lawful for them to make money in this manner, how can we consider the money given to them lawful?